Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off today's daily editorials with an update from Great Bear Resources, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol GBR and on the OTCQX under the symbol GTBAF. Chatting with the president and CEO, Chris Taylor. Now, Chris, we're going to look and recap a news release that came out on April 22nd. Headline says, Great Bear reports successful LP fault extension and infill drilling. Some of the headline numbers, 10.5 grams per ton gold over 13 meters, 16.5 grams per ton gold over almost 6.25 meters. More actually just high-grade drill results from the project, but I want to focus on your quote first and foremost within this news release. You say, predictability is a trait that builds first-class mineral deposits, distinguishing the best of the best, and every week that goes by, the company is successfully expanding and infilling the LP fault zone, pretty much where you expect to be hitting mineralization. Chris, start us off with this more high-level look at the project and the predictability that you've seen through the drilling so far.
Yeah, thanks, Corey. I mean, that quote really expresses what makes the Dixie Project and the LP fault different from just about everything else out there. I mean, you can have predictability in deposits on small scale, 200 meters, 300 meters. You can line up the drill properly, and you can hit gold. But some areas, you know, you'd be very hard-pressed in the majority of deposits to have even a 50% success rate inside of an ore body. So what we're talking about with the LP fault here is kilometers long of this high-grade system that runs along the center of this mineralized big zone and the wide low-grade bulk tonnage halos around that. But what I said in the quote, that's really the factor that makes big deposits, sort of world-class deposits. And if you look at a long section of, say, something like Canadian Malartic, or you look at a long section of Detour Lake or the Hemlo deposit, for instance, what makes them stand out is the predictability at scale, not predictability over a few hundred meters, not predictability 10 meters away from another drill hole. It's predictability across kilometers in some instances. And that's what we're looking at here. So I would just emphasize, like, if you look at the long section that we put out in the last news release, we had some step down holes on a couple of sections where we stepped down 120, 140 meters below the existing drilling and hit that mineralization again, 500 meters, 600 meters down. And the thing that's really important is we expected to hit that mineralization and we successfully hit that mineralization and we were not surprised. So we just want to emphasize that being able to do that on this sort of massive scale is one of the characteristics that sets our Dixie LP fault discovery aside and is shared by some of the best mining projects in the world.
So I'll post that figure one below this interview so everyone can reference that. And those step down holes, which I guess you can also say are step outs, they kind of just blend into all the other drilling. But as you said, these are about 100 to 150 meters away from some of the known or some of the recent drilling. Some of the holes here, a 125 meter step down, came out with a little over 11 grams per ton gold, over 6.75 meters. That's about 524 meters down hole. We also had hole 291 that was 139 meter step down. That had 1 gram per ton gold over 96 meters. That's from 477 meters down hole. What's the balance here? Because you're seeing high grade, you're also seeing this low grade over a large width, 96 meters. What is down at depth from what you're understanding?
It's amazing. It's very much the same at depth as it is above. And the number that you just quoted, if I recall correctly, there's a high-grade core on that wide interval of 90 grams as well. I forget what it is, but I know there's high-grade mineralization in the middle. And that's what's getting, like, we're starting to go through, actually, I shouldn't say that, we are in the middle of going through these advanced studies on the project. And I'm working with engineers and resource modelers, and we're getting ready for the disclosure of that maiden resource, which means there's a lot of work going on under the hood, so to speak, with experts, people that have run feasibility studies, like resource calculations, every type of economic study and resource calculation type study for big mining companies for years and years. And it's exciting. Like the feedback that I keep getting from everybody that looks at the project is that this thing is so flexible. Like, it has the high grade, it has the bulk tonnage, and it's consistent. Like, you know, we were expecting, and just frankly, based on the scale of it, it's amazing that it doesn't happen. But as we've gone down to depth, like the deepest holes that we had were very much like the shallow holes. They had a high grade core and they had the wide bulk tonnage halo. So, you know, we see this consistency, and it means that you could, you know, potentially this project could be operated like a big open pit type scenario, the big bulk tonnage mine scenario. It could be operated strictly as a high grade underground project, or more likely some sort of combination of these two. And that's exceptionally unusual in itself, because like, if you can combine the profitability and low cost structure of a bulk tonnage open pit operation with the long life and predictability, you know, the long-term returns from a big scale underground operation, most projects can't do that. I mean, when you look at the big bulk tonnage projects, they don't typically have big underground potential attached to them. But what you're looking at with the Dixie LP discovery is both. It has both of those on one project, and that means that us, as the company that owns it, and the rest of the industry looking at it, sees that dual potential. And I think what that means is that we have something that looks like it's going to have exceptional economic potential, and we really look forward to showing that to the world when we get through all these studies.
What is the process then to get to actual economics? The company doesn't even have out a resource yet. So take us through how that all has to progress until we could see some economics.
It's funny, like this should be the fastest ever delivery of a resource from the initial drill hole, which was May 2019, to presumably the first quarter approximately of next year. We'll know pretty soon when that's going to be. That'll be the first ever, or the fastest ever delivery of a resource since discovery, sort of with this types of characteristics and this kind of scale. So, you know, it's coming quickly, but the thing is so big that we probably need, we're now drilling in sequence. I've seen when I was on site recently, over 330 drill holes in the number sequence that are, you know, in progress or complete. And I think we've got 280 odd holes in the market that we've released so far. That'll soon be 300 holes released into the market. And by the end of the year, by the point of time that gets to about 400 drill holes on the LP fault, I think we'll have sufficient data to give you an idea what the upper parts of the system are, not the whole thing. It's not possible for us to drill off all the mineralization on the project. It's just too big. But we can give you what we see in that first sort of 400 meters, 500 meters from surface in that initial maiden resource disclosure. It's just that it's going to take another 100 holes beyond what's in the market already in order to get that just those calculations done.
So, Chris, what are some of the other comparable assets out there that have this high grade at surface and also show this high grade component, but also bulk tonnage availability, both at surface and at depth?
Like, I've seen combinations of this. You almost have to merge different projects. And I've said it before, I always find it a little bit funny, but it's like, you know, kind of a Canadian Malartic deposit had a baby with the Red Lake deposit or the Hemlo deposit. So Hemlo would be a better example. It's a high grade, largely underground development, about 2.6 kilometers strike length, about 22 million ounces produced at about 8 meters wide of about 8 grams per ton. So you can see that's not super high grade, but it has this predictability, the sheet-like predictability in a big shear zone and the same kind of rocks that we see. But then if you want, you know, kind of scale characteristics and you want a big system, you could look at Agnico Eagle and Yamana's Canadian Malartic deposit. So if those two had a baby and the host rocks were a lot more like Hemlo, you'd be looking at something like what we have. The thing is to keep in mind, let's compare apples to apples. And if you want to be realistic, the kind of apples that we're looking at with Dixie and the LP fault are a lot more like those big project apples than, you know, what other people may, you know, may be exploring in the marketplace today. It's exceptionally unusual to find that combination of scale and grade and open to depth.
Yeah, it really is. It's fun following along, too, and the drills just keep on delivering. In terms of news flow, then, Chris, what should investors expect as drill results undoubtedly will just keep coming out?
Yeah, we just issue results regularly. What I'm trying to do with the results over the course of the year is make sure they're meaningful and people understand, you know, like the last news release was discussing predictability, discussing, you know, this predictable expansion as we continue to step out by hundreds of meters and it just gets bigger and bigger, you know, so we want people to understand how the project is advancing, and we'll keep putting drill results together in packages that we want each result to be meaningful and show you how the project is growing. Of course, when you drill hundreds of drill holes in a year, it can become just overwhelming and people are used to seeing more good numbers and more good numbers and more good numbers. It's our job to tell you what it means. And what it means is we're excited by that predictability. We're excited by the potential for flexible economics, flexible future build, scenarios that we're envisioning. And that flexibility and that presence of high-grade gold going to the surface over such a big area, we think that has enormous economic potential. And we just want to show people how that's going to look and really the implications for valuation in Great Bear. I think they're exceptional and we look forward to proving it.
Okay. Well, we look forward to continuing to cover the story and following up on any future news. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. I will get those answered for you. Chris, thanks again for your time, and well, I look forward to chatting with you again on the back of some more news.
Okay, thanks, Corey. Talk again soon.